The marvels of communication permit me to be heard at the 25th anniversary celebration of your Dutch Dalton Association. This tape recording is being made in my own studio. It's a real joy to speak to you in this very personal way, where I can express my deep and abiding appreciation for all you have done to develop a once tiny seedling which you have rooted so strongly in your rich Dutch soil that it has consequently become a strong and vigorous tree. The idea that germinated in my mind long ago has always remained alive, entrenched in my heart. I am gratefully humble in remembering all that has been done to realize my dream. But we must remember, too, that, as Edward Sagan has said, is not enough for an idea to be ripe in the mind of a thinker and hailed by advocates of progress, or the social medium which it falls must be prepared as well. Otherwise, no production ensues from the contact. Generally, the seeds which it cannot germinate are carried by a more genial soil. I had the great privilege of talking personally with some of your Dalton pioneers when I was in Holland for the dedication of the Helen Parker's Dalton School in Rotterdam. I know of the difficulties your pioneers experienced. In an apartment in Amsterdam, reached only by an almost perpendicular stair, I talked until morning with a group of Dalton enthusiasts. All of them were past the ripe age of 75, and some had achieved their 80s, or shall I say, were 75 to 85 years young. Their first difficulties were legion, but they met each in turn with magnificent optimism, unshakable faith, and rare insight. Their courage was buoyed by that wonderful sense of humor that you Dutch people have in abundance, permitting you to simultaneously see both sides of an equation. Recital of their experiences showed that when pressed for a ready answer without necessary time to experiment and draw conclusions, their active sense of humor came always to their rescue. Their pioneer humor sharpened their wit so that they saw straight through their impatient, uncertain inquisitors who tried repeatedly, without success, to confuse rather than to clarify issues. Instead of being baffled, these mature educators girded their loins, knowing that as they had always been successful, success was sure to stay with them if their sense of humor was uppermost. So, humorously and fearlessly, again plowed virgin fields, rightly expecting that they would be able to harvest a satisfactory, though different, crop. Their tools were clean and bright, and naturally they succeeded again. They had to pioneer to be true to their love of adventure in education. Otherwise, it would have been death to their inner spirits. Your country is small enough so that you can reach out and touch each other in true comradeship. Your aims are lofty and well considered, so that your work is a luminous beacon to those who frequent the path leading to the child world. New York, where I have lived since 1915, has a population greater than your entire country, and complexities of so dense a population often impede, if not destroy, the natural flow of energy. The result is either to retard the spread of ideas or spread them too quickly and too thin, so that they are sometimes set aside before maturity. Then we have the sad spectacle Emerson foresaw of educated eyes in uneducated bodies. Such conditions have made me ponder over how I can best serve, what conditions I need in the future. Exploring the Child's World is now in 7 languages, besides English: Swedish, Japanese, Dutch, and Spanish. Spanish in both Spain and in the Argentine, 2 different translations. Also in German. Department of Information of my own government translated and published it in German to send behind the Iron Curtain to be circulated throughout Germany to depict a better way of life for children. So far, it is one of the few books so honored. This week, I have learned of the book's translation into French. Next month, the Italian translation will be published. After 30 years, the original Education on the Dalton Plan was republished in Florence, Italy. All Italian examinations now require knowledge of the Dalton Plan. I like to think that exploring the child's world sets forth what we must know about the child, that child whom we would educate on the Dalton Plan, I mean. I regret that the yield of my recent researches was not in my possession when I wrote Education on the Dalton Plan. The stirrings were assuredly in my heart to dictate my later direction and discipline. I have continued my special researches since 1947. I've accumulated a wonderful storehouse of psychological findings that challenge me. During the past year and a half, I've been exploring these ideas in a new field, focusing on the teenager. This I have done from the Atlantic coast to the Pacific coast in order to discover how they think and feel about themselves, how they relate their feelings to their own problems. I've gone to places like Portland, Oregon, Fort Wayne, Indiana, San Francisco, California, Cleveland, Ohio, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Boston, Massachusetts, to make recordings. I've contacted these teenagers personally in their own environment, having the best possible conditions for recording in each place, with excellent engineers to care for those otherwise uncontrollable difficulties. I've also made recordings in my own studio in New York, all kinds of children, those with happy backgrounds, also those who have been in trouble. I've met various cultural groups, the Chamawa Indians, migrants, children of different faiths, as well as different racial backgrounds. Children of this age reflect our future potential citizenry. These ideas, too, will go into another book to be completed next year. My opportunities have been as rich and rewarding as they have been time-consuming. On the very days when you will be holding your anniversary meetings, you can think of me moving to a very beautiful, especially creative studio 100 miles from New York, in the tiny rural village of New Preston, Connecticut. The studio is built on a hilltop, high above a big 10-mile lake. From the studio terrace, we have an unobstructed view of this old glacial lake that spreads its arms in three directions. It reminds me of Como or Lugano. A rim of hills make a complete circle of the horizon. This place is dedicated to research, to honor children, and to reveal some of the many problems we know little of, but must pursue. 1,500 feet above sea level on this Berkshire hilltop are perfect studios for recording, away from the hurry and bustle and traffic of a big city. There I shall have uninvaded peace and quiet. That quiet necessary to think through a puzzling problem. And here I expect to write a new exposition of the Dalton Principles. They relate to the world our children are forced to live in today. Here I shall try to reveal my discoveries of these later years, trusting that they may enrich and extend the possibilities of the Dalton Plan as I now see it. This new book has long been in my thought. People come to see me from all over the world. Therefore, I have an office in New York where important appointments are kept. Most of my time from now on will be spent living and working in this new studio called Starbridge, where the stars actually hang overhead. I hope to contribute here some little part of good that will be worthy of your faith. Now, at this time, extend to each one of you my personal greetings. May we all join in reverence to that child who is today but a fragment of the man we may yet see.